Hey everybody, just make sure before you get into this episode, make sure you hit the subscribe button and the little bell so that way you can be notified every week that we drop a new episode. Thanks so much, now let's get into the episode. So he's like, I'm trying to talk myself out of it. And then I'm an enabler, so I'm like, I don't know, man. That sounds pretty fucking cool. And then he was like, oh, no. So that's why right now he's like.
Oh, man.
And then we were talking about having bad dreams and shit like that. I had the worst dream. I had a dream I was fired from work, but they fired me in the worst way. So it's like. I took a nap, right? Yesterday. I took a nap, and it felt like I was still at work. And it was Saturday, and I was clocking out. And they're like, hey, Boogie, go ahead and leave your uniform here. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, man, you're fired. And I was like, hold on, y'all bitches gonna wait till I finish my whole thing on Saturday and then fire me? I said, you want this uniform back? So then, I don't know. Again, it was weird, but it felt like really weird in the moment. I get fucking butt naked in the parking lot. Throw my boot through my supervisor's windshield, and I'm like banging on his window for him to come outside so I can whoop his ass. And I'm like, man, what's wrong with me? I wake up and I was like, ooh, that was too real. I was like, this is not a.
Did you add something?
Did I add something? No.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you like on super delay? Because it took like a second for your head to stop like reacting to the. Are you on super delay?
I was also reading a text because there's. So here in Reno, there's Riverfest. And so people are trying to coordinate. Hey, let's go meet up. Let's go do stuff. And I'm like, I'm down, but I want to ride my bike. Because if you take your car down there, it's a pain in the ass to try to find parking. But on a motorcycle, you know, you can wedge between two vehicles pretty easy. And it's going to rain. And like, oh, don't be a bitch. You're going to get in the rain. And like, normally I wouldn't mind riding in the rain. My issue riding in the rain right now is I got brand new tires on there, and on a motorcycle they're super slick that first 100-150 miles, and I've only got like 40 miles on them. So like, I'm not gonna risk breaking my hip again just to go look cool to prove to some young cats that I can ride my bike in the rain. So that's what I was laughing at, because you were talking about your whole impulse buy. And before we started recording, the whole thing about getting into a fight, all this other shit. And I'm like, see, I'm glad I'm not in my 20s anymore. I can't get suckered that easy.
Shit, why don't you go put some more?
Because it's been raining like crazy this past almost a month now. Like since I got back from Houston, it's been raining off and on every other day for a couple hours. Like, it'll say it's going to rain all day, and it only rains for like 30 minutes. And then other days it says it's only going to rain from, you know, 9 to 10, it'll drizzle all day long. So the weather has been acting up, because we normally don't get this much rain. And then two, nobody knows, nobody can predict the weather. They say it's going to rain and then it does or doesn't and whatever. So it's been a pain in the ass to try to even get those miles in.
Yeah, this week been stupid over here. Like, it's just been like terrible rain all week. Like, I'm talking about like whole trees getting knocked down on Thursday. I'm talking about like that shit has been dumb, son. The rain has been really bad. But, oh, man, then I fucked myself up at work. Look at this shit. fucking accident.
Yeah, I see. I was like, wait, would you get into a fight? Was that really a fight you got into? Or you...
No, I was at work and I was cleaning some shit from the awning of my truck and I was coming back into the cab and the shit went like that. The craziest part is, right, I get hit in the head, fucking head so often, I didn't even think it was that bad. I was like, oh man, I said, that's gonna leave a bump. And then, you know, I was literally started driving and then I felt some like liquid going into my eye and I was like, what the fuck? Am I sweating? And I went like that and then I pulled my hand away and I saw blood. I was like, fuck. So I had to go drive back to the fucking yard so I could go clean my eye out in the wash station, sterilize it, and then put a Band-Aid. I was like, damn, I didn't even realize it was that bad. And the funny part is I was riding with somebody that day that was helping me out. And he was like, damn, you banged the shit out yourself. I said, I didn't even notice it. I said, that's the fucked up part. I said, there's got to be something wrong with me. I said, that shit can't be normal. That I was just like, huh, that tickled a little bit.
That's, yeah.
Hey, I want to ask you a question. How do you feel?
About what?
Like comebacks. So like, I used to fuck with this chick, right? And she stopped fucking with me one day. She was like, I can't fuck with you no more. I said, okay. And then she was like, you don't want to know why? I said, I mean, tell me if you want to. And then she was like, cuz man, like, I feel like you just want to fuck me and I want love. I said, well, man, and you know, we went this whole thing where I was like, what makes you think I don't want love? You know what I mean? Like, just getting into a philosophical discussion of like love and shit. But then I was like, all right, man, well, you know, be good or whatever the fuck. Months done passed by, like 6 months or some shit like that. She hit me up out of nowhere earlier this week, like tracked me down type shit, because I don't have her number no more. She tracked me down through some form of social media, tracked me down, found me or whatever, hit me up. And then I was like, what happened? Like, you dipped out. And then she's like, I'm going to be honest, man, like, I ain't found nobody like you. And I was like, what you mean? And like, because these were her exact words. Her exact words were, there's nobody out here like you. Like, you're assertive, but not aggressive. And a lot of dudes out here fucking suck at dating. And I don't know, the more dates I went on, the more it made me miss you. So I just wanted to reach out. So how you feel about comebacks? Like women that cut you off and then want to...
Yeah. No, I heard cum rags. I'm like, I mean, how is that even a problem nowadays? That was the look on my face that you saw, just that confusion. So I actually went and raised the volume just to make sure that I heard you correctly or that there wasn't kind of some kind of miscommunication or whatever. So... With them, I'm okay with comebacks, like you call them, if we weren't actually a couple, we weren't actually dating. Like, you know, it never became anything. Now, if it's a relationship, it becomes a whole ass relationship, and I say, I don't want you anymore for whatever, then I will care. Then I would definitely care about why they don't want to date, whatever. Because you were like, yeah, whatever, fine. I'm the same way. I kind of had a similar situation not too long ago. But if it is a relationship, then I'll kind of want to know. I'll try to fix it. I'm not just gonna let it go in the trash just because, you know, maybe some kind of miscommunication. Maybe like right now, I misheard, she misheard, whatever. Let's clear the air before we just get rid of a whole ass relationship. But if it's just situationship, friend with benefits, fuck buddy, whatever that you're working towards, and she disappears and she wants to come back, fine, because, you know. Like you and I, we have them to kind of filter themselves out. They get pissed off. We're not moving towards monogamy fast enough for them. And so they figure that they're going to pressure you into doing it because they leave. Like, fine, bye. You know, so you're not the only one out there. And it kind of reiterates my point, or our point of how we are in dating, is that girls can't find guys like us. We can find girls like them. They're a dime a dozen. Just like I mentioned, I don't even remember what episode. But you can go on Instagram and search big booty Latinas, big booty blonde hair, big booty blonde hair, black woman, and you'll find hundreds of them, maybe dozens, depending on how descriptive you become. But there's no way for you to easily find 6-figure man, 6 foot tall, you know, high 5 figures, 5'5" and taller. You can't find those. You can't search for them that easily because you can't tell. But, you know, for what women have or what women offer, that's easy to find. And so that's kind of reiterating the point here that if you hold yourself to a certain value, women are going to want to come back. Women are not going to get you out of their mind because you are a rarity. You're not that common as these women are.
Yeah. I just found this one. I don't want to say the word special because it's not like that. I just mean more like as in She's the first one to like say it like that, because the other ones try to come back and they just try to like hop back in like ain't shit happened. You know what I'm saying? Like they just try to like they like it's double dutch. They're like I can just hop right back into the rotation. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? And then you know, because I'm gonna be honest, you know, before like back when you know I was still you know a pussy or whatever, women would like you know we'd be in a relationship and the shit wouldn't work out for whatever reason, and then they try to come back, and I was actually more forgiving to them than I was to just like girls I was fucking. Because girls, like, I was fucking, like, I cut them off, and then I would never go back to them. Or, like, they would cut me off and be like, I'm done with you, and then they would never come back, and I'd be, like, completely, like, okay with it. You know what I'm saying? But, like, if somebody, like, wanted a relationship with me again, like, that shit used to fuck with my head. Because I'm, I used to think that it's, like a manipulative tactic. Because I'm, like, you're fucking with my head. I was, like, this is a psychological thing that you're trying to do to me. Because, like you said, they try to tell you, like, oh, well, we can get back together, but this has to happen. And then, you know, like I said, at first I used to fall for it, and I'm like, yeah, you're right, I could be better, I could be better. Or like, yeah, you're right, maybe I was a little controlling. Or like some shit like that. And then you start realizing, like, you know, now that I think about it, like this shit that you asking me to change, like, wasn't really a problem. I wasn't really doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you just really trying to like cut me down and manipulate me. So I'm not fucking with it. So now, like I said, if a relationship stops, I'm like, that shit obviously stopped for a reason. And even though, like I said, I've been like I've been single like 3 years, like that I haven't had like a girlfriend. I've been like single for 3 years. And there's been a couple girls that I've like dated for like a little while, you know what I'm saying? And like, don't get me wrong, I definitely miss, you know, some of them, and I think about them every now and again sometimes. But it's because like when you think about it, you only think about like the good shit. And then, you know, it was crazy. Somebody told me, they're like, oh, when that happens, like you shouldn't think about them. Like you should try to take your mind off it. I'm gonna be honest, for me, what works is I actually think about it more, because then once I like process through all the good shit, then all the bad shit starts coming up because I run out of good shit to remember. So I just actually ponder on it more, because then the bad shit starts coming up. So I'm like, oh yeah, man, we did have great sex. Oh, she did have great lips. We did have fun. And I'm like, the fuck, she did like burn my favorite t-shirt. Man, she did run into my car. She did try to stab me. Like, you know, you start just like going down through there where you're like, I mean, maybe it's not that extreme, but you know, you're man. Like, holy shit, like this is crazy. And I'm like, man, never mind. This is kind of a good thing that she let, like, it was obviously for a reason. But like I said, every once in a while, like my mind just kind of like plays tricks on me. But that's also why, like, I tell myself, if I'm thinking about somebody, don't text them right away. You know what I mean? Cause like that'll happen sometimes. Cause like, and listen, this is the, I don't agree with this whatsoever, but this is how women explain this phenomenon. They say it's because, like, I'm a Cancer or whatever. So they're like, you're an emotional being, whatever the fuck that means. But they're like, you get attached to people really easily. Because there is sometimes that, like, I'm dating a chick, and, like, we won't even be dating that long. Like, I've just been, like, fucking with her for, like, maybe, like, a month or something like that. And I notice she, like, pops into my head, like, often throughout the day. But because, you know, it's starting to just become, like, I call it more of a fascination or, like, an infatuation. You know what I mean? Where it's like, well, we've been talking a lot. I've been seeing you a lot. So, of course, you're on my mind type shit. But that's why I try not to be just as impulsive as I used to be. So I'm just like, you know what? Let me chill. Let me slow down. If I think about her, like, I'll let her pop up to me. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, or I do, like, sometimes I do some shit where, like, I won't even text the girl, like, in the morning. Like, I get into a habit. Like, I text the girl every morning. I'll be like, hey, good morning. How you doing? Or whatever the fuck. Have a good day. And then just one day, I just won't text shit. Because I'll see if she'll text me out of nowhere. And then if she don't text me, I won't text her all fucking day. I don't give a shit. And that's just definitely happened before where, like, I won't text the girl. And then, like, in the afternoon, she'll be like, wow, so you really not going to send... Like, she waited till, like, 12:01 till it was officially afternoon. And she's like, so, wow, you ain't going to send me a good morning text. That's how we acted? I said, oh, man, I've been busy at work. I haven't been able to text you, but, you know, I like to see that you reached out. She's like, well, I thought that you were busy, but I was waiting for my good morning text. And I'm like, eh.
So you touched on two things, and I'm glad you brought it up, because if I brought it up, someone might say, oh, he's old, he's getting soft. But, you know, and actually we're both Cancers too. And it's not, I think it may be partially Cancer stuff, but I don't put too much stock in that. I think it's just more just natural feelings. Guys, we get feelings. We do care about women. We do have emotions and stuff. We're not good at expressing them. We're not good at understanding them, but we do get them. We do enjoy the company of a woman, not just because she gives us sex, but we just like having a woman by us and around us. And so, you know, you talking about, you know, liking little things about her, thinking about a girl, you know, it's natural. And It's the difficult part, I think, is for guys is to not get so attached to that idea of a girl or the idea of a relationship to where we'll do anything just to keep that girl happy, just to keep her around because we don't want to be alone. And, you know, it can go from just natural emotion to desperation if you don't, you know, maintain your integrity, you don't maintain your own self-respect, because that a lot of this boils back down to self-respect. If you hold that for you, then she will have to come to you versus you going to her. And this isn't a playing games or playing tricks like you were getting at towards the end about, you know, she always has to come to you. It's more about you have to be the rock, because that's the role that we're assigned at birth. Us males, we have to be the rock. And sometimes it does suck that we have to be that we have to do that all the time. However, being that way lets the relationship work more naturally, because she can come to you. She's going to rely on you. She knows that you're going to be there. You and her, on the other hand, will be there for you, but for the emotional support that you don't know how to express or how to talk about, that you express through feelings, through sex, through affection, through touch, right? Physical touch. Now, there are guys that are more on the emotional side than on the physical side. And it kind of works. That's kind of more towards like hypnotherapy and suggestibility as to what works for you as far as communication styles, because some communication styles, things sink in if you say to your partner, I think it'd be important for us to do blah, 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 versus a person that's a physical, they say, you need to go do X, Y, and Z. You need like a bullet point list of things to do versus talking about feelings or having ideas, kind of being not wishy-washy, but just being fluid in how you're addressing things. So that's part communication style, part personality. There's all these things that you have to understand about your partner and about yourself to be able to have a greater understanding when you're having your relationship. So going back to the whole thing where you were saying, yes, guys, we have emotions. We do like being with women. We do like all these other things. We may not be good at expressing that or talking about it, but again, it's important to acknowledge that. And whenever you feel like you're going off the deep end, not play tricks on her and not say, oh, I'm not going to talk to her because she didn't talk to me, like somebody over here does. But in the sense, make it understood, like, hey, I was busy this morning, blah, blah, blah. It's like 11 a.m. Just wanted to say hi, but I haven't heard from you. And I'm noticing a pattern, you know, letting her know that you notice that I'm the only one that's starting off. If you wake up early in the middle of the night, you can message me, have that conversation. So you can move past that instead of trying to play games. Oh, well, he didn't text me, so I'm going to message him and say, oh, see, you didn't say good morning. I'm going to tell you good afternoon. You know, whatever games you're doing, leave them behind. Stop playing games. Start trying to work towards goals and relationships.
Yeah. Being an adult, don't be like Boogie. Because I mean, don't get me wrong, there is sometimes that I do get busy and then, you know what I'm saying, like shit just happens. But like I said, I kind of just made it part of my morning. Because see, the problem with me is though also like I really legitimately just like forget type shit. Because like, you know, I wake up stupid ass early. Like I'm up at 12:45 p.m. So like she's either still up or just barely going to bed or like barely been in bed for a few hours type shit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm up at that time. She's not waking up till, you know, 6, 7, 8 fucking o'clock. And so I'm in the middle of my fucking, I'm in the middle of my work shift. So now I have to like, you know what I'm saying? That's why I'm not going to drop everything just to send a text. So it's like whenever at my earliest convenience, I notice like, oh shit, it's 7 o'clock. Now I'm going to go ahead and send a text. And then I'll send a text to let her know that I'm thinking about her. And you know what I'm saying? Blah, 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 whatever. But I said, there is just sometimes that like, again, not saying it's okay because I'm also a child, but like, you know, yeah, sometimes I just do want to see if she gonna text first type shit. Cause I'm like, you know, you don't ever want to feel like you're the only one putting in the effort where you're like, damn, man, like, cause that shit, again, that shit leads to resentment where you're like, well, I'm the one doing fucking everything here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I plan the dates, I pay the bills, I think about her, she don't think about me, I do this, I do that. And you know, you start tend to like keeping track and keeping score. And the shit should never be like that. You should always feel like, I do for her, she does for me. This isn't like, this is mutually beneficial. It's not like a parasitic relationship where I feel like I'm being leached off of. Because you know what I'm saying? Nobody ever wants to feel like they're being leached on. At least not nobody I know. That's why sometimes like when I get like, I don't even want to say lonely. Because it's like, but when you want like that like relationship kind of feel, and this is going to sound kind of like crazy. I mean, I just call my partners up and then like we'll meet up and do something for the day so I can just kind of like be around people. You know what I mean? And then, like, you know, just kind of like hang out and shit like that. And to me, that helps me feel better and kind of like get out that funk where I'm like, oh, we'll go thrifting, or we'll just like go hang out, or, you know, we'll go watch a movie or do some shit. Like, you just want that companionship. You know what I mean? Where, like, don't get me wrong, there's no companionship. Like when you have like a truly healthy, I hate to be corny, but like a healthy, beautiful relationship between you and your partner. Like, yeah, there's nothing like that companionship, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there are close seconds. There are close seconds to get you through if you don't have nobody that's like that for you.
And see, that's also the importance of having male friends and being able to have your own circle, to have that camaraderie that we get with other males, because, you know, we're not used to having the type of relationships that women have, where they talk about their feelings, they talk about everything, they cry under the, you know, any and everything that they have to do emotionally and whatever. Women have that naturally. So guys, we get that bond, that closeness, so to speak, like brotherhood that we have through groups and organizations, because we don't have a rite of passage that we usually do from boyhood to manhood. I mean, you just turn 18 and that's it. You're a man now. You're responsible for things. But there's no class, there's no boot camp, there's no training, no trial, no test, no nothing that helps test you of all the things you've learned through your childhood to kind of prove that you're an adult. So that's why I think a lot of us are kind of floundering, particularly those of us that didn't have two-parent households, healthy two-parent households. And so then we try to find or attach ourselves to anything that even resembles that even remotely feels good, because we don't know what we should expect or what we should find. And in Latin families, we particularly get pushed towards, oh, just sleep with as many women as you want, eventually you'll find someone. But we still don't get taught, hey, this is what you should look for in a woman to marry. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But for the most part, it's just push that, fuck anything you want and just settle down eventually. But it's not a class or nothing taught to us of what to look for. And so, you know, with the healthy relationships, I totally get that. You know, my healthiest relationship was with my wife that passed away. And that one, I mean, you know, just the way she looked at me was inspired me to do things all the time. You know, it made me feel great. It felt me feel like I could do anything in the world. I could run for president. I could win. I could do literally anything if she believed in me and I had that support in her. But it's rare to find that, because it's not easy to find a woman that's not going to be selfish a lot of times. And not just women are selfish, men and women are selfish. They only think about themselves. They don't consider, you know, their partner the greater good. They just think, what can my partner do for me? Why aren't they doing this for me? Why aren't they making me feel happy? When they're not adjusted enough to think, hey, I need to be happy on my own to make my partner happy. He'll make me happy, and back and forth. So that's always a struggle.
I think where people fuck up at is they go like too far to one side or the other side, where like one is like they're completely selfish, and then the other one, like where they harm themselves, which is like what I used to be, is like you're completely selfless, where like you're just putting all your attention to your partner because you're like, well, the more I focus on making them happy, then they'll notice, so then they'll start to try to focus on making me happy. And that's not really how it goes, because if you're dating a selfish person, that selfish person's gonna be selfish. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, again, you need to get a healthy relationship where somebody's also fucking healthy and like also on your same like type of time type shit. Because, you know, if you're working on yourself, you gotta protect your little energy, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, you done did the hard work focusing on yourself, getting yourself right. And there are some people that really kind of ain't ready for that type of shit, man. And, you know, sometimes you meet the right person at the wrong time. I know that shit sound corny, but, you know, maybe you were just meant to meet them just, like, as a passerby in your life. It wasn't really meant to be, like, a whole thing where they just stick around for a long time type shit. You know what I mean? And, like, especially nowadays, like, I remember I met this chick last weekend. I had went out, me and the Shout Out Splash World Radio, Pineapple Dan and Slim, we all went out to Washington Street, and I had approached this girl, and it's crazy, literally, like, she gave me her number or whatever, and we start chopping it up, and she texts me, she's like, man, I'm gonna be honest, she's like, just the way that you came up to me, like, I don't ever give dudes my number, she's like, ever, she's like, cause she's like, don't get me wrong, she's like, you know, I'm not saying that dudes don't hit on me, cause, you know, that'd be lying, but, like, I don't give my number out like that, cause a lot of dudes, like, the way that they approach me, like, I don't like their energy. She's like, the way you, like, came up to me and spoke to me. And, like, I don't know, you just made me smile and made me feel, like, safe. Like, I don't know, I like your vibes, was the way that she put it. Where I was like, man, sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, somebody just gives you good energy where you're like, I like this person and like how they make me feel about myself. And, you know, like I can tell that maybe they on the same type of time that I'm on. You know what I mean? And that's why, like, if you date women that have kids, man, it's tough for a lot of guys because they can't. I know there's like a hard turn left, but I promise it all links up together. Because to a certain extent, like single mothers, they kind of got to be selfish when it comes to their kids type shit. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, one, there's a lot of fucking weirdos out here. You know what I'm saying? You got to be safe with your kids and shit like that. And but two, you got to realize if you're a dude, you're always going to be second, third, fourth, whatever place behind however many kids she got. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just assume she got one kid. You're always going to be second place to that child, but because that child needs to be taken care of. You know what I mean? So there are some people that are going to be like, I don't want to be put like second place behind no kid. So they won't date no chicks that they got kids like that. And that's completely fine. But there are like some dudes that they want the kid to like, I don't want to say be put like all the way to the fucking side, but sometimes like they get frustrated that like certain mothers put their kids like above them, which again, I'm just like, if you feel like that, why even date a single mom? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just a choice. People act like sometimes like they ain't got no choice when it comes to dating. You know what I'm saying? That's why like it infuriates me when women are like, oh man, all men ain't shit. And it's like, how about we take some accountability for your choices? Like, you choose ain't shit motherfuckers and you want people to feel bad for you. That's just like, dude, that pick ain't shit bitches, who I'm guilty of too. I've picked ain't shit bitches in the past. And I'm like, why are all these girls trash? And it's, I didn't hold myself to no standards. So why the fuck would they be good people? They ain't got to be good people. They can afford
it. How to approach it. Because you are right. There are people out there that don't know how to pick partners. But at the same time, most of these people are picking partners in bars and clubs. I very rarely do I meet anyone talking about, oh yeah, I was volunteering over here doing X, Y, and Z, or I was, you know what? I'm gonna drop a secret spot because I never share this. Go to a yoga class. Go to a fucking yoga class. You're gonna be the only male there. If there are other males there, at least half of them are gonna be gay, usually. So if you're not gay, the other guy there probably is. Whatever. Okay, that's all I'm gonna drop. Okay, as far as dating single moms, though, man, there's history, there's all this other stuff, but the what's it called? It birth control pill was more kind of help with the sexual liberation, but then what screwed us is feminist lobbyists back in the 70s. With good intentions back then, because first wave were a little more equal rights versus what we got nowadays. But anyways, they pushed more for having the child support to help raise a child. However, it's been exploited nowadays for women to have multiple baby daddies to have more money coming in, not care about the kid. Not saying that's a case all the time. You do have situations where people get divorced, and that's a situation there. Then you also have the other end where there are women that are widowed and have a couple of kids, and they're stuck with them. They have no support because they're widowed. So dating single moms is an inevitable problem. Eventually, you're going to run into a woman that's going to be great, and then fuck, now she's got kids, whether she's in her 20s, 30s, or 40s. Now dating single moms. This is a conversation I try to have with them early on and have them just kind of shift their view, because a lot of times their focus is their child 100%. Their kids are first, blah, 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 blah. I think it's a bad idea to focus on your kids that way for two reasons, not for the male, but just for the parent, because you get so involved in your kid, you help them out so much that they are now incompetent adults. I know 18 to 20 year olds that cannot order a pizza on the phone, that cannot order a pizza on it. They could probably order a pizza on an app, but credit card information, they have no idea what that CVV is. They don't know where to find it, how to put it in. They're incompetent, non-functional adults. They often enough don't know how to drive or just rely on Lyft and Uber, which is fine. They can use public transportation or they have the money to. But where's that money coming from? From mom. Everything's tied to mom's credit card. Everything's tied to mom's cash because they can't pay their own cell phone bill. They don't know where to go find cell phone service. They don't know how to do a lot of things to function in society because the parents are so involved in them that they do everything for them and help them out. I have a coworker, or actually one of my direct reports. his son can't mow the lawn to save his life. His son is 12. Now, I think the son fucks up the lawn on purpose so that way he knows the father's going to do it because the father's a perfectionist and wants the lawn done right. I, on the other hand, or most Latino families would make that kid do it every day until he gets it right and then have him keep doing it. I suggested to him, hey, have him do it all the time until he gets it right. And then you alternate weeks, you know, get him to like, hey, we're going to share the load once I do it correctly. That way we both do it right whenever. But he's still too involved for that. So on that side, I think it's bad that parents focus 100% on their kids. I'm not talking about for the dating part. For the other half that I am talking about for the dating part is focusing 100% on your kids teaches your kids that they're supposed to focus on their kids instead of their partner. And a lot of times what happens in divorces, or not a lot, part of the divorce rate is because the couples don't have a relationship. They don't know who each other, they don't know their partner. They're virtual strangers. Once the kids leave the house, you know, a lot of times people say, oh yeah, we're going to get divorced and wait till the kids leave the house so it doesn't affect the kids. The kids know there's a problem in the house because the parents are always fighting because they're always focused on the kids and not focused on each other. If the couples focused on each other first, teach the kids, my spouse comes first. Unless you're bleeding, unless you got a broken bone, unless you're dying, my partner comes first. I feed you, I take care of you, go out into the world, live and survive. That's the way, the natural order, the way things should be, because that teaches the kids, okay, when I'm in a relationship, my husband, my wife needs to put me first. We'll take care of each other. We're going to have a strong relationship. We're going to have a strong family unit altogether. And our kids are going to see that reflected in our parents and in ourselves. So they have two examples, the grandparents and the parents teaching them how they should be with each other. But we don't get that. So I kind of have this, a short condensed version when I'm dating a woman, like, hey, look, when we're together, if you want to be together, I don't like kids, first and foremost. Ideally, I don't want to meet your kid until they're like 25. I don't care about their name. I don't care about their school. I don't care what's going on. And I need to come first. If you put me first, I'll make sure you come first. I'm not going to take away from your kids' time. You can go to your kids' events or whatever, but don't put me off just because, oh, my kid's at home alone and they might burn the house down. And so I got to worry about them all the time. If you can't teach your kids that self-reliance to take care of themselves now, to be home alone for a couple hours, how do you expect them to survive in the real world? You're going to be paying for them when they're in their 20s or even 30s. And this is another conversation where kids come back home. Fine. I get it. The economy shit. People can't afford rent. Fine. Come back home and live with your parents, but not stay at your parents' house, live till you're 30 because, you know, you're not ready for them to go out into the world because you don't think they're ready.
I think it goes back to like the overcorrection thing that we was talking about earlier. You know what I'm saying? Because like, you remember like our parents, they used to like just let us run around and like, you just got to kind of figure shit out. And then kind of came like the helicopter parent, where it's like, I have to hover over this child because they're useless without me, because I'm not going to be like my parents, where I don't want them to have to figure things out for themselves. I want to give them this knowledge. That way they can have it. But it's like, again, you treasure things more that you earn than that's given to you. So sometimes, like I said, man, I'm a pretty useful motherfucker. And it's mostly because, like I said, my dad would teach me something and just get on my ass about not doing it right. Whereas in my baby brother, who's 18, yeah, man, he don't know shit, like damn near, you know what I'm saying? And it's funny, I was having this conversation with my mom the other day, because she's like, I don't understand why he's like this. And I said, listen, you and dad like created this. I said, but now y'all are mad at y'all creation. I said, y'all are Dr. Frankenstein. Y'all are like, oh my God, I created this monster that's terrorizing this village. Why is this happening? And it's like, well, you made the fucking monster. Like, don't be bad. Don't feel sad about it now. Shit, you made that motherfucker. Now you got to deal with the consequences. Now you're the one who's got to put the monster down. Because she thought it was just insane that like, he don't know how to do shit. Like he was, she told him his like engine was leaking oil. And this is not to bash my brother. Listen, my brother does a lot of shit that I don't know how to do, especially technology wise. So I do ask him for help on technology. But as far as just like, to me, what is simple shit, but you know, cause I'm more like an on hands type of person. To me, it's simple. He don't really like get it. Like when it comes to like mowing the lawn or like something to do with like an oil change or car maintenance, or, you know, some shit like that. Like, he's legitimately baffled. Whereas in me, I'm like, oh, that's fucking obvious, dude. You know what I mean? Because he was like, oh, what type of oil does my car take? And I'm like, ask them at the at AutoZone. I said, they can literally look at your engine and it says it right there on the oil cap. And he didn't know that shit. He's just like, so I'm going to go there. I'm going to tell him what kind of car I got. And like, he gave me this whole long ass story. I'm like, you don't got to do all that shit. I'm like, go there, open up your hood. I said, your oil cap? Like, look, this is the craziest part, right? Me and my brother showed him how to check his oil. So then he was going to top his oil off. We forgot to show him where the fucking oil cap was. He put it down where the dipstick goes. And he's like, man, he's like, I think you're, because I let him borrow my funnel. He's like, I think your funnel's too big for my engine. He's like, I mean, it makes sense. Like, you got a big truck and I got this little car. And I'm like, where are you putting it at? And he sent me a photo and I was like, oh my God. So that was a fucking thing, man. That's what I said. And I was like, God, I was like, our parents ruined you. I was like, they fucked you up, son. I was like, you don't know how to do a bitch ass thing. Where, like I said, there is certain shit that I'm incompetent in when it comes to like technology, but mostly because I was in prison when this like social media boom and this big technology boom happened. So I missed out like on a lot of it. But like I said, I'm pretty useful, and it's kind of weird. Like, I talk to women because they'll be telling me, they'll be like, oh man, I'm gonna go get my oil change later. And I'm like, oh, that's funny. I just did my oil change. And they're like, oh, where do you go? And I was like, oh no, I do it myself. And then they're like, oh man, like that's fucking hot. And I was like, what? And they're like, oh yeah, man, it's so hot that like when a guy changes his own oil or like knows how to do shit. I said, damn. I said, in that case, I mow my own grass. Ooh, I changed my own air filters in my house. Damn. I said, I could fix a wobbly table. You just start naming dumb shit that you think is just regular. And they.
that is so sad. I mean, it's funny, but it's sad at the same time. Sad that that's what our generation is going, and or not even our generation, the generations behind us. And I get it. Things are supposed to get easier with life. You know, my life, I know, is at least 4 or 5 times easier than my father's life was growing up. with technology and having things super easy and super simple to do. You know, and there are things that, you know, for convenience sake, I'll go get my oil changed down the road at Jiffy Lube or Valvoline, wherever I happen to be. And that's usually for me being too busy with my life activities that I'm like, oh shit, I hit, you know, my 6,000 miles and now I'm like 400 miles over and I'm busy this weekend. I don't have any time. I don't feel like doing it because I have an SUV. I don't have a truck. So, and it's a small SUV. So I even have it, the funny thing is I bought all this stuff to do my own oil change. I bought ramps so I can drive it up. So I don't have to worry about jacking and putting jack stands. So I just drive up on the little ramp, have everything set up to go. And I still won't do it because it's still a pain in the ass to have to get out there and do the work. And not that I'm afraid of manual labor, because I still got to do manual labor at work sometimes. Even though I'm a manager, I got to cover for lunch, stuff like that. So it's not fear of the work. It's just more of, ah, fuck it. You know, my time is more valuable enough to me to pay $40 for someone else to do it and get done in about 10, 20 minutes tops versus me doing it and taking me an hour. And most of the time is getting everything ready and taking everything down, you know, and then disposing of the oil.
Oh man, convenience is a motherfucker. Cause like for me also, like I know how to cook, but I use this meal service. And I was talking to somebody about it the other day, cause they're like, what'd you have for lunch? And I was like, oh, I had chicken and broccoli. And they're like, oh, that's what's up, man. They're like, you made that? I said, no, I use a food service. And they're like, oh, how much does that cost? I'm like, $90 a week. And they're like, $90? I said, listen, I said, I've done the math already. I said, for me, I said, buying groceries for the week cost me about $75. I said, using this meal service is $90. I said, but I get to save time not having to cook any of this shit, and it gets mailed to my fucking house. So when I show up from work, it's already sitting right there on my doorstep. All I got to do is throw it in the fridge, and then I pop that bitch in the microwave whenever I'm hungry. And I'm like, to me, that's worth $15 because I didn't have to waste the hour, 2, 3 hours, however long it's going to take me to cook all this shit. I'm like, so to me, that's worth $15. And some people find that like crazy because like they are like real old school. They're like, nah, like you got to do all your shit yourself. And I'm like, listen, there's some shit that, yeah, I do it myself, but because I have the time to do it. But there's other stuff that I'm like, I'm on a time crunch, you know what I mean? Where like, I already don't have a lot of time because of my job. Where I'm like, I don't have 3 hours to fucking meal prep and cook a whole thing. Whereas for me, like I said, yeah, I got my car shit down to a science. I already know where everything's at. I know, you know, exactly how long everything takes. I got all the tools and shit like that. It takes me like 15 minutes from like pulling everything out to cleaning everything up. So it's like, I've already got that shit down like that. I'm like, 15 minutes ain't shit. I could do it myself real quick. But cooking, I'm like, it's going to take me like 3 hours. I don't have time for this. I'm just going to pay $15 more than I would for the groceries. And then I have all my meals.
So for that service that you have, is it come prepackaged where you just nuke it, or do you still have to do a little prep work with it?
No, you just nuke it. It's a Factor Meals, if y'all want to check it out. Factor Meals, F-A-C-T-O-R. So it's already pre-made. It's pre-measured. That's actually what helped me lose a lot of weight, because I do a Calorie Smart ones. So every meal is like under 800 calories. So, and you know, I already barely eat anyway, so I only eat once a day. So for me, it's worth it, because I get 6 meals a week for $90. And like I said, those 6 meals, I eat one a day. And then, you know, I have my cheat day today, so I can eat whatever the fuck I want. But that takes care of me all week. And like I said, everything's under 800 calories. You throw it in the microwave for 2 minutes, let it cool off for a minute.
I might try that, because I was doing HelloFresh and all these other ones where, like, they mail you the food and kind of, like, give you directions for how to make all the different meals. And I like doing that. I don't mind, you know, slicing, dicing, julienne, all the other stuff for cooking. I'm not going to be on America's Kitchen or whatever the reality show where you go try to be a chef. I'm not a chef. I can cook well. I can bake well, but not at that level. So I'm competent enough to do that. But yeah, it does take time. And on one hand, I do enjoy it, but I'd rather do that for stuff that I do like to make, like some of my staples, my recipes that I perfected over the years. And so even though those are usually big meals that can last me all week, but then by Thursday, I'm kind of like, okay, I'm tired of albondiga soup, or I'm tired of this casserole, or I'm tired of beef stew, or whatever I make, you know, I make too much of it. And then by the end, I got to freeze it and then reheat it later. And that's just a pain in the ass. So I might give that shit a try, because that seems more my alley. And plus $90 a week. Yeah, that's about average, because I spend roughly $300 to $400 a month, depending on what I get. And half of that is a good quarter of it gets thrown away, because, you know, it just sits there. It's behind food and you don't notice it or whatever. So yeah, that weekly thing, I think I like that. I'm gonna give that shit a try.
Hey, wait till Monday then. I'm gonna give me a new box. They give me these like discount codes to refer. So I'll send you a link on Monday. So that way, I think it's like your first box is free and then you get like 50% off for like the first 2 boxes after that or some shit. So yeah, cause that's how I got it. I got it off a fucking promo. And so my first box was free, and then the next two were like half off. So I was only paying like $45 basically, somewhere around there, for the first like 3 weeks basically. And I was like, this is fucking, and like I said, I did a HelloFresh also, but like you said, man, that's still 3 hours. Cause you got to unbox everything. It has the recipes written out, but then you still have to do all the cooking, which again, at first I was like, oh, this is cool. Everything's already basically made. You just got to put it all together type shit. And don't get me wrong, it's delicious. HelloFresh, if you want to, you know, sponsor us, I'd be happy to. Your shit's amazing. But I ain't got time for it. So, you know, Factor, reach out. Because that shit for me, like I said, is the best. Because I get to do it, and then the shit's done with. And I'm like, this is fucking amazing. Like I said, they mail it to me. I got it set to where every Monday, that shit's waiting for me on my porch as soon as I get home. And they're great about their email updates and shit like that. And you can pick whatever you want. So it's great for me. Like I said, it works out for my lifestyle. If you got the time and you like to cook, I'm not telling you not to. I'm just saying.
So taking it back a few steps, if you're dating a single mom, just keep in mind, you're not going to be first. But if you're going to get into a serious relationship with them, yeah, I mean, it's hard to avoid them. And I mean, unless you find them 18 to 22, which, man, I can't handle them at that age. And it's rare to find someone close to my age that's childless and unmarried. And, you know, sometimes there's a problem with those. Either they're kind of stuck up and, you know, or they've got a college degree and expect X, Y, and Z and, you know, still hold all these standards that, you know, they should have dropped 10 years prior, but whatever. But there are women out there that are childless or have kids that are almost out of the house. And those are the ones I think that are easier for me to have a conversation with. Like, hey, look, If we're going to do this, I'm first. I will help you with your kids because kids fucking love me, even though I don't like them. But I don't know what the reason is. I just know that whenever I have a conversation with them, they listen to me more as an authority figure, even though I have no say over them. I have no control over them. I can't make them do anything. But I treat them as a human or treat them as an adult versus, you know, how do you do today? And blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to be funny. I just tell them, hey, what's up? Blah, blah, blah. Hey, do you know how to do X, Y, or Z? If they're a guy, you know, especially if they have sons, I try to teach them man shit, you know, changing oil, mowing the lawn, taking care of stuff around the house. And, you know, they kind of put up a fight like, well, I don't need to do that. Like, you're going to have to live on your own one day. You're going to have to at least know how to change your own vehicle, unless you're going to live in a small town in Midtown and afford to live in the center of the town and live like a couple blocks from your work, you're going to need transportation. So you need to learn. And talking and explaining things like that, they are more open to listening and doing whatever I tell them, and also teach them, hey, you need to learn how to cook. Because, you know, what if your mom died tomorrow? What are you going to do? Your father's out of the picture. What would you do tomorrow? Would you even know how to bury your mom? And they're like, what? No, don't say that, blah, blah, blah. But I had to do it. And, you know, it's one of those things that can be a surprise when you're a kid. So you have to learn life skills. Anyways, back to dating moms. If you are, you need to have that conversation that you need to come first and explain why. Don't say that you need to come first because, you know, you're the man or you're her boyfriend and she needs to put you first. Explain that it's going to be for their kids' benefit, that when they grow up to be adults, they're going to see how a healthy, strong relationship should be. And that, I think, is what helps them, at least the moms that I deal with, open up and realize, oh, hey, you know what? Okay, that does make sense. Okay, you know what? I can get behind this. And they slack off or kind of fall into bad habits of trying to do for their kids first or put me second. And when I notice it, I tell them, hey, no. This is how things are going to be, or I'm not going to stick around. I'm not going to put up with being second, third, or last. And, you know, those relationships don't always last with me because, you know, they don't want to change their ways, or they just kind of fall apart for other reasons. They live too far away, or I just don't have the time. My work schedule changes or whatever. But again, this is the whole point of dating someone for at least a year before you decide to commit to them. I have a few friends that recently got engaged, and man, I'm already trying to figure out how I can take bets on when they're not going to last or when they're going to end, because I've seen the problems those relationships have had over the past few months to years. And one of them, as far as I know, they recently met and got engaged within a 3-month period. Now, if they knew each other prior, maybe that might be excusable, but I would never, you know, even commit to a relationship in under 3 months, let alone commit to getting married in under 3 months. But, you know, good luck to them. But I'm gonna place bets and see where I can get odds on that shit. So, anyways.
Hey, kudos to them, man. The other thing, like, I ain't gonna lie to you, man. Like, if I date a single mom, I actually like for her to have a good relationship with her baby daddy. Because, like, now I don't want them to be, like, too fucking close and shit like that where I'm thinking they're fucking. But I'm saying, like, I want her to have a good relationship. Like, really more so for the kids, though. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, especially, like, if they got daughters, if she has a good relationship with her dad, like, I'm like, okay, that shows that you really do care about the fucking, like, kids' best benefit, you know what I'm saying? Where, like, they still have their father in their life. And I'm not saying that's all up to the mom, because sometimes, listen, some dudes are fucking deadbeats. You know, I've definitely met a couple. I'm not judging. I don't give a fuck. If you didn't want to have that kid and she did, that's not on you, pleb. But, you know what I'm saying? If they have a good relationship with their baby daddy, and, like, their baby daddy's, like, active in their kid's life, because, man, I remember one time I met this girl's baby daddy, and she felt, like, so weird. Because, like, I was real cool with him. Like, I shook his hand. I said hi. I was very, you know, courteous to that dude when I met him. I said, hey, man, how you doing? You know, I just had, like, real ass talk with him. I'm like, listen, man, I'm not trying to be your kid's daddy. You know, you're their daddy. I was like, I'm just here. If they want to talk to me, I'm here to talk, I guess. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to take your role. Like, you ain't got to worry about that shit. Like, I'm here because of her. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't meet this kid and be like, oh, well, I want to be that kid's dad. Like, that's not what happened type shit. I'm like, that's still all you, doggy. I'm like, that's all you, son. Do that shit. And, you know, most of them, they're pretty cool. They're like, oh, man, like, I like that guy. You know what I'm saying? Very respectful. He gets it. And, like, I'm never going to get in the middle of y'all problems either. That's another thing. Because I know some, like stepdads or whatever, or, like, mom's boyfriends love to, like, just get interjected in the drama. I'm like, listen, don't talk to me bad about your baby daddy. Don't do none of that shit. Because guess what? At the end of the day, again, you picked him. You know what I'm saying? There's plan B. There was plenty of options for you to be able to not have him as your baby's father. And you chose not to take that route. So you chose him, you know, whether he was a piece of shit back then or not, you still picked them. So don't be upset about it now. You picked that gentleman. Now you got to live with it. So now you got to just try to be copacetic and get it done. But I'm not trying to, because that's another weird thing to me, man. Because, like, also me, though, like, I come from, like, where my mom was dating a bunch of different dudes. And, like, you know, I see all kinds of, like, stepfathers, like, the ones that don't give a fuck about us, where, like, they don't pay attention to us whatsoever. And then I've also had the ones where they're, like, they try to be your dad. Even though, like, our dad had us full time, so that was really weird. Because I'm like, I got a daddy. Like, I know my father. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need a second one. I appreciate it, but, like, I'm good type shit. You know what I mean? And it's just weird. And like I said, man, if you're just, like, a stand-up dude, because don't get me wrong, like I said, I used to have my stepdaddy license. I used to be a stepdaddy for a number of years. And Yeah, that's what I call it. You know, because I don't got my stepdaddy CDL. Don't come with three kids or higher. I got a stepdaddy license. I'm qualified to drive two vehicles or less. But so, yeah, I was a stepfather for a little while. And like, at first, the kid didn't like me because it's weird. He's like, you're dating my mom. I don't like that shit. You're taking my mom away from me. And I just let him know. I'm like, listen, dog, you could be an asshole if you want to. But guess what? If you're an asshole, then I'm not going to want to come over here. And then guess what? Your mom's going to have to come out to see me. So that means that you're going to have to be left with a babysitter or with your grandma or by yourself. I said, but if you're cool with me, I could come over here and your mom could be here and I could be here and we could just fucking chill and watch a movie. And if you're cool with me, you know, I'll try to talk her into taking you fucking places. But if you want to, and I remember calling him a jerk because I was like, if you want to keep being a jerk about it, I said, I could never come over here again and then just keep taking your mama away. I said, if that's what you want, I can do that too. And then I remember he started crying. He was like, don't take my mom away. And I was like, I mean, not forever. She'll be back, dog. Like, shit. I was like, maybe I worded that wrong. I was like, she'll be back. Like, I'm not going to kidnap her. Like, I just never like.
I just need her overnight. Just till the sunrise.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, maybe less than that. I'd be like, she might be back at midnight. Shit. I might have some other shit to do. I don't know. It depends how busy my schedule is. I don't know what I'm doing. But yeah, man. That shit just made me laugh, though. But I mean, like, he ended up being real cool with me to the point where, like, he ended up calling me dad, and I told him about that also, because again, he knew his dad, and he like didn't like his dad, and so he would start calling me dad, and I'm like, listen, man, like, I'm not your dad. I said, you still gotta respect your father, you know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't gotta like him, but, you know, respect him. And I said, I appreciate you feeling like you're close enough to me to be able to call me that. And then I was like, you know, I care about you, I fucks with you type shit, and you know, I'm always here for you, but, you know, me and your mom, we're just dating, like, we're not married, so if anything happens, like, I'm not going to see you again type shit. So I don't want you to get hurt either. And then he was cool about it. He's like, I get it. And then he tries to like talk me up to his mom. It was the weirdest shit. Like, then he became my wingman basically. Cause he's like, mom, you know, Boogie's a great guy, man. I think you should really stick with him. You know what I mean? I think he's going places. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I don't need you to leave the
city. Something similar to that. But I was being a jerk to them. Cause I don't like kids. I like them being around me. And so normally I would just gross them out by talking about sex with their mom. Or not even talking about sex, but hinting that implying that, hey, you know, I fuck your mom, I do this, X, Y, and Z. What was it? One of the kids said something about daddy or pops or whatever. And I said, yeah, that's what your mom calls me. And she goes, what? He goes, yeah, I make her cry. I make her scream that or whatever. But they're like, ew, fuck off. Or, you know, they'll get mad at me because we're joking around and, you know, they're kind of like adult teens or young adults or whatever 16, 17 is. And, you know, they'll say something like, you know, motherfucker, like, yeah, I am. Your mom loves it too. And they start, fuck you, blah, 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 you know, kind of get mad about it. But, you know, that's kind of the relationship I end up having with them, where we can joke around and treat each other as not equals or more like peers, but still enough to where they respect me, but, you know, that they can talk to me about anything. Not that I want to talk to them, but at least they're comfortable enough to not be in fear of me or not think they can get over on me either.
Nah, yeah, I remember one time I made a joke in front of about him, because I was fucking with him and I called him like big head. I was like, look at that big ass head you got. And then he was like, whatever, my head's not that big. I said, man, your head is huge, man. You fucking ruined your mom. And then he was like, and he didn't get it, but the mom was a little bit upset about it. She's like, don't fucking say that to him. And I was like, I'm joking, you're not ruined. But that's a big ass head though. I said, he almost split you in half, be real. I said, that nigga there got a noggin on him, son. I said, that boy there better be a genius. I said, He 85% head, 12% body. But, nah, yeah, like, you make little jokes and shit like that. Like you said, I don't like to talk to them like babies either, because I'm like, listen, man. Like, I remember one time, because I dated this chick, and she had, like, a grown-ass kid. Like, her kid was, like, 16 type shit. And that was, like, weird, because I remember, like, one time, she was, like, going through something, like, really tough, and it was weird, because, like, she didn't want to talk to her mom about it, I guess. So she wanted to talk to me about it, and that was, like, very strange for me. Because, I didn't want to be anywhere alone. Because, I mean, one, it's a girl. It's a daughter. It's not a son. So, to me, that was already weird. Because, like, I remember one time I brought this girl to the party, like, to one of my parents' parties. So, we're over there, like, at the house. And she brought that daughter. And then, you know, I'm over there just, like, dancing, vibing or whatever. And they're like, hey, man. My dad told me, he pulled me to the side. He's like, stay away from that girl. I said, who? And I thought he was talking about, like, because it was my girlfriend at the time. I was like, why? What happened? What'd she do? She do something fucked up? And they're like, no, like her daughter. They're like, she's looking at you in a weird way. And I was like, listen, I already don't go nowhere by myself with her. I was like, at all. So, at all. I remember one time her mom asked me to like pick her up from school. I was like, that's a negative. And then she called me an asshole. She was like, oh, you're fucking dick. You can't help me out. I said, listen. I said, first off, there's Uber. There's Lyft. I said, second, I'm not the one that got you pregnant. This ain't my responsibility. That's your child. I said, you're responsible for taking care of her and picking her up. That's not my responsibility. I said, I'm also busy. I said, so I can't do it. But I didn't want to tell her, like, it's also because your daughter's making fucking googly eyes at me. But anyway, weird situation one time. She's going through some shit with a boy, and she wants to, like, have a conversation with me. So I was like, and her mom had, like, cameras in the house. And I said, sure, just sit on that couch. I'm going to sit on this couch over here, and we can talk about it at a respectful level away from each other. And it was just, like, weird because she was, like, talking about it. And, you know, normally, like, we joke together and shit like that. And it's kind of funny because I found out she smoked weed. And I remember her mom got, like, on her fucking ass. Like, I told her, like, beat the shit out of her. And I talked to her mom about it. And I was like, listen, man, not that big a deal. Like, I smoke every now and again. You know what I'm saying? She's like, you smoke? And I was like, yeah, man, it's not that bad. I was like, get high every once in a while. I was like, you know what? I said, let's go in the backyard, get high. So I got her high in the bitch, and her daughter came home. And she's like, you're high. And so then they have a conversation. And then her mom eventually tells her, like, all right, you can smoke. But only at the house. And it's got to be with me. Like, that's it. Like, I don't want you smoking out in the street. If you can promise me that, then you can smoke here at the house as long as I'm, like, here. So then that, like, it became weird because then it was, like, a three-person smoke circle. It was me, my girl, and then her 16-year-old daughter. And I was like, this is crazy, son. I was like, I guess I have more influence than I thought.
Yeah, I had to break up with the girl because of her daughter. And back then, there weren't cameras. There wasn't no Ring. There wasn't smartphones. Was it? No, there wasn't smartphones. cell phones, yeah. But, yeah, I like every time I came by, like, I just felt like, man, the look, the vibe, the everything. And she was, fuck, I don't know, 15, 16 also. She was, you know, in high school. And I, you know, normally I joke around, hey, you know, I announce I'm you know, walking around the house naked, stay in your room, blah, blah, blah. Even though I have shorts on or something, but you know, they don't need to see me half naked or half dressed or just with a towel around my waist. So I say I'm naked, whatever. And there were a couple of times where this girl, she would like go out, try to catch me. And she goes, you're not naked. You just have a towel or you just have your shorts on. That's not naked or whatever. And you know, having this conversation, like, why are you even coming out? I'm announcing, don't come out here. And you still come out to look, like, what's your problem? And that's when I started notice or realizing there was going to be an issue. And so I had to like call it off with the mom. I was like, nope. Cause you know, anytime if I'm at that house alone with that girl, she could say I did anything and the mom's going to believe her. I'm getting up in prison. And that's the last thing I need.
Yeah, man, that's just wild. So I remember one time I was taking a shower and I came out the shower and like, it's her mom's room. You know what I'm saying? So like, I had locked the door and I didn't even know she came home from school type shit. She had like Ubered home or whatever. And I was like my day off or some shit. I don't remember what the fuck I was doing, but I was just there by myself. And I like come out the bedroom.